Christmas through Middle Eastern eyes. Well, family is very important at Christmas time, but in the Middle East, it's even more important. And not just your nuclear family, but your grandparents and where you came from. So what was being explained in the scroll there is very important to the Christmas story. And the main point is this, that Jesus is from the royal family on both his mother's side and his father's side. This is a view from Mount Nebo, which is in Jordan, and it's looking across to Bethlehem. This is the view that Moses had before he entered the Promised Land. Moses died on the top of Mount Nebo. And Moses, just it was so close, and he wasn't able to set foot. It was so close, but he wasn't able to get there. And I don't want you to get through Christmas and hear this whole story and not experience the promise of Christmas. I pray that this morning that you will come to know that God has come down for you, that you may be with him. 50 kilometers away from Jerusalem, that's how close Moses was, and he never got there. And Moses had this prayer. He already had a really close relationship with God, but he wanted to know God even more, and he said, show me your glory. Show me what you're like. And God said, that's impossible, Moses. No one can see my face and live. Because Moses was a sinner. Moses had rebelled against God. That was one of the reasons why he didn't go into the Promised Land. But no human being can see the face of God and live. It's impossible. We can't get that close. But in the good news of John, he writes these words, we saw Jesus. We saw him face to face. We heard him. We touched him. We spent 3 years with him. And the words he uses, we've seen his glory. We've seen how wonderful he is. John was able to say that which Moses could not say. And then when Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the temple, Simeon looked into the face of the baby Jesus and he said, my eyes have seen the great rescue plan, the great rescue plan, God coming into the world to save men and women, boys and girls. I see that this child is the one we've been waiting for. He saw it. He saw what Moses didn't see. But it's so easy for us to miss the main point, to miss the main point, even all the details of the Christmas story. But I don't want you to miss the significance of the manger. This is where animals feed from. And there's a message from this manger for us this morning, God's message from the manger. Why was Jesus placed in a manger? There's all kinds of reasons why we think that he had to go into a place where the cattle was. Why did he have to be born in there? Some people say, well, maybe Mary and Joseph arrived late. Do we really think that Joseph is that incompetent, that he can't calculate forward 9 months, and he would somehow arrive late and the baby would be a big crisis? Well, it says in Luke chapter 2, verse 6, while they were there, her days were completed. They were in Bethlehem before the baby was born. It wasn't a rush job. Another reason, nobody offered Mary and Joseph any hospitality because of the scandal of her birth. But remember, he's from the royal family. David is from the family of David. Mary and Joseph are royalty. They're arriving in the town of David. A Middle Eastern person would think it inconceivable that you would not offer hospitality to anyone, that you would not offer hospitality to a pregnant woman. But not offering hospitality to the pregnant woman from the royal family of David in the town of David. So when this story is told in the Middle East, they don't say anything about no room at the inn. And the no room at the inn, in our Bibles out there, the purple Bibles, the 2011 translation of Luke 2, it doesn't say no room at the inn. It says there was no room in the guest room. There was no guest room available for them. See, what does the Bible say? You see, the word for inn is in the Good Samaritan story, Luke chapter 10. And Luke doesn't use that word in Luke chapter 2. He's not thinking of a commercial inn. So what word is he using? He's using this word here, because there was no kataluma available for them. He uses this word in the story of the disciples in the upper room, when Jesus says, go and prepare a kataluma, go and prepare a guest room. So this guest room is an upper room. It's an upper room in a house. So if you take a typical first century home in Bethlehem, this is what it would have looked like. You've got the guest room at the back, the kataluma, then you've got the living room, and the manger is actually in the living room. And then you've got the stable in front of that. And overnight, the cattle would be brought into the house. And in the morning, the cattle would be sent out. That's what would happen. So Jesus is born in a typical peasant home in Bethlehem. Yes, there's the manger. Yes, the cattle. But it's not that he was not shown hospitality. He was shown the best that they could offer, just like Pastor Emil offering the best that they could offer to these kids. Because a Middle Eastern person, hospitality reveals the heart. Hospitality reveals the generosity. And as we read the Christmas story, the emphasis is on this manger. It's mentioned so many times when the angels appear to the shepherd. What do they say? They say that today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. The shepherds who were poor, the shepherds who were outcasts, shepherds who were people that didn't want to be friends with the shepherds. They were the lowest of the low. And God appears to the shepherds first. And if you're in any doubt, the king has been born to you. And he's born in an ordinary home. He's not in the palace. He's in an ordinary home. And just look, he doesn't have all the luxuries. He's wrapped in cloth. And he's in a manger. He's one of us. He's one of us. He's not above us. He's not aloof. He's come alongside us. This is the sign for you. And it's a sign for us as well. It's a sign for us as well. You know, the thing that's really struck me this Christmas, and it's one of the reasons why I wanted to go to the Middle East, was just this tension between the abundance of what we have and the poverty that so many people live with every day. And to have an opportunity to give to others, it helps us. It helps us to connect with them. It helps us to connect with God. And for God to connect with us, he had to go somewhere. He had to come alongside someone who was poor. And that was me. And that was you. I might think that I'm rich, but actually I'm poor. I might think I can see clearly, but quite often I'm blind. And God saw my poverty, and he came into this world for me. He saw your poverty, and he came into this world for you. That though he was rich, yet for our sakes, he became poor. so that though we were poor, we might become rich. I got a real encouragement this morning. I was reading from Charles Spurgeon, Daily Readings, 24th of December, morning Bible reading. Do you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? That though he was rich, yet he became poor for your sakes, so that although you are poor, you may become rich. Thank you, Lord, because that's what I want to preach this morning. That's what I want to share this morning. And maybe there's people here today that need to hear that. They need to hear that in the abundance of what we have, do we have what we really need? Do we have this relationship with God, which seems impossible, but was made possible because of God's great love for us? Not that we deserved it, but that he longed to give that gift to us. He longed to come to us. And the question is, will we show him hospitality? Hospitality is the key to our hearts. Will we make room for him? Will we receive him? Or will we be like so many people that will reject him, that will patronize him, and talk the talk, but have no desire to get near him or to follow him? The message of the angels is that there's peace on earth available for us, but that peace comes to us only if we will recognize who he is, that we'll recognize that he is the king. He's the king that came from the wealth and the majesty of heaven to earth for us. If we will receive him into our hearts, then we can have that peace. If we will receive him into our hearts, we can have that joy, that hope, and that love. And that is my prayer for you this Christmas. I'm going to just finish with the words of Charles Spurgeon. He says, "The Lord Jesus Christ was eternally rich, glorious, and exalted. But though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. A wealthy believer cannot be true in his fellowship with the poor unless from his wealth he ministers to their needs. It is impossible for our divine Lord to have fellowship with us unless he has given us out of his abounding wealth, unless he became poor to make us rich. If he had remained in the throne of glory, we would have been left without hope. But he has left his throne of glory, and he has done this for us. He has come to us, our Lord Emmanuel." Let us pray. Father, we pray today, recognizing that you have done a miracle in our sight, and it takes faith to believe in miracles. And this morning we want to thank you for the miracle of your birth in the manger. We thank you that you came to an ordinary place as a sign to us that no one is excluded, that everyone is welcome. And Lord, we just want to acknowledge our own need of you this morning. We might have a lot of stuff, but Lord, we need your peace. We need your joy. We need your hope. And we need your love. And we know that these things are only possible because you came into this world for us. Thank you that you received the gold, for you are the King. Thank you for the myrrh, because you died in our place. Thank you that you gave us everything you had, even your own dear son's life. And we receive that gift, and we receive your life and your salvation. Lord, this is wonderful news. We pray that the reality of it would overflow from our hearts, not just today, but tomorrow, and particularly to the people we meet. Help us to share out of the abundance that you've given us, not only material, but also spiritual, because we have heard this good news, and we don't want to keep it to ourselves. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.